there's some people in this world that did not tune in to the Alliance Vlog Podcast. Shame on you!
Shame on you! My name is Ella Indy, and I'm one half of the NWA Women's World Tag Team Champion.
And I'm Kizzy Page, the other half of the NWA World Women's Tag Team Champion.
And you better go listen to the Alliance Vlog. What is it called?
Podcast! Period!
Or you're ugly. Period. Power approved.
Are you ready?
Power.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
What we've got here is failure to communicate.
I'm building an alliance.
God bless the internet.
Okay, let's party.
It's showtime.
It's time for the Alliance Guys podcast, with your hosts Kevin Frazier, Jaden, DKM, and Jay Cal.
Oh, I've been doing this for a long time, and I still haven't figured out how to be professional. Hey, welcome to the show, guys. It's Jay Cal. It's Royce Isaacs. We're talking all things pro wrestling, but specifically, we're going to be talking about Mr. Royce Isaacs' schedule that's coming up here real soon. But before we dive into that, man, first of all, how you been? It's been a minute since we spoke last.
Yeah, man, it has. It has been a minute, man. But I'm chilling. Today's been wild. Lots of training. I went on, did some catch wrestling with some lads over from the UK at a CSW MMA earlier, and Barnett set it all up or whatever. So then I took this little hellion out on a couple walks. So I'm tired, but I still got a lift to get in tonight, and I'm pushing through it. He's in the arms, otherwise he would go crazy. He hears me talking on the phone or anything like that, and he just starts barking like crazy. I got the Palm Father shirt on, so it's all very fitting. But yeah, man, I'm good. Long answer short, I'm good.
He's a very cute sidekick you got going on there, so that's doing you good.
Yeah, we're both ugly, so at least we got someone that looks kind of cute on the stream, you know?
There you go. Well, you know, the casual viewers will now see this adorable dog and say, hey, I'm going to watch because of that.
He's the draw, not me.
The last time you and I spoke, you were still in the NWA. Well, the last time and I spoke, there was a damn global pandemic that prevented wrestling from actually even happening. And, yeah. I used to say, like, oh, man, it sucks that wrestling's not happening now. And it did, but it that changed quickly. You left the NWA. Was that on a good terms, bad terms, no terms, any terms? Were you good when you left?
No, I definitely wouldn't say it was bad terms by any means. Like, I don't think there's any ill will. It was a crazy time in life, certainly. I just think it was the right time for me to ask for my release and go. And, you know, I think the kind of stuff that I've done since then is, kind of reinforced why I bet on myself in terms of that or whatever. But, like, it would be silly for me, I think, to just go around and, like, act like there's some bad blood or act like I was angry or something. Like, it's like they gave me a great opportunity. And, I think that I furthered my career there. And so, yeah, like, I don't know. It's not like, I don't really, like, it's not like I talked to Billy. I haven't talked to him since I got my release, but like, there's no bad blood on my side. So if there's any on his side, I don't know why.
Yeah. I mean, I haven't heard anything. I was just curious, you know, cause it was pretty abrupt, but like you said, you know, betting on yourself, especially in that, tumultuous time, in the world of wrestling, there were a lot of moving pieces. And unfortunately at that time, the NWA just wasn't moving. And you weren't alone. I mean, there were several talents who also left shortly thereafter. You ever keep in touch with anybody like Tom or Nick or any of the guys from Strictly Business?
Yeah, of course. I definitely, me and Tom chat every once in a while. I was on a show with Nick, like right before he got, you know, his big deal over at WWE and what he's doing now. I see people that were at NWA with me, you know, a lot of shows that I'm at, you know, I'll do shows with Zicky, or, you know, if I'm doing something with AEW, I'll see Ricky Starks and whatnot. And yeah, like it was a really good crew. We had a really good group of people together, back in like the start of the Lightning One NWA days.
Yeah. It's funny because you made your debut at the Crockett Cup, you and Tom were the wild card, and then you know, we're just a couple weeks away from the Crockett Cup coming back. You know, one of the things that I always thought would be cool is if they invited you and Jarrell to come in as the West Coast Wrecking Crew. I'm not assuming that's happened, though.
No, definitely. Like I said, I haven't talked to Billy since I left. So I don't think there's really any interest there. Like, of course, you know, as things in wrestling go, these things can always change and whatever. And I never rule out a, you know, like a return or anything like that. But no, it's not something that's been broached. But I mean, I do think there would be something cool there, especially if, you know, Tom's in the mix and, you know, maybe we end up facing them at some point. But it's one of those things where it would have to make sense for both sides. You know what I mean? Like, it would have to be something that's a good deal for them and a good deal for us. So I don't know. I don't really, it's not something that like I'm, you know, holding my breath for, but sure. If it ever happens in the future, like I said, like, you know, hey, I'm here to wrestle. I'm here to make money. So I'm not against it.
Well, the whole time you are in the NWA, you and Jarrell Nelson were still teaming as the 1%. You know, I got to see you guys wrestle out in Vegas with Ring Warriors. I popped for that because I hadn't seen you guys team together before live. I've only saw it on video. I know you were doing stuff with Future Stars of Wrestling as well. You were still kind of as a singles in the United Wrestling Network, but then when the pandemic happened and everything kind of changed a little bit, what led you from being a singles wrestler in the United Wrestling Network, a tag team wrestler in the NWA, tag team wrestler out on the Indies, heading towards New Japan Strong? What door opened up for you to make that happen?
I mean, I've always like had my eye on New Japan. Like that's always been kind of like a place that to me was like the best place in terms of like work rate and wrestling style and the people that they had there. And you know, them having that kind of focusing that base in LA was obviously great. And they were one of the few places around in LA that was running during the pandemic, you know, cause they had shows with no fans. We had all these crazy rules where there had to be 15 minutes between matches and they would do like a full clean of everything. And as soon as we get to the backstage, boom, mask on, all this stuff. Like it was like, we had to stay at a distance. It was a wild times. And especially like doing all that, no fans in the crowd, just killing each other out there. But yeah, I had a match with Alex Coghlan at Bloodsport and Rocky Romero was there. And after the match, Rocky was like, hey, we have these tapings coming up. I think it was like March 24, maybe, of 2021. There's these tapings in a few months, and we'd like to have you and Jarrell on. And so from there, it was on. And, like, you know, props to Coghlan because he just retired, and we trained together quite a bit, me and Coghlan did. We trained together at the dojo. We trained together at CMMA and got some roles in, some sparring, beat the crap out of each other, beat the crap out of each other at Bloodsport twice. And I don't know, you know, we've had our ups and downs, but overall that's like a really good dude that I'm going to miss having around in wrestling. And, you know, one of those guys that's just like a marvel in the ring, you know, one of the few guys that I'm like, damn, strength for strength where, you know, he might give me a run for my money. And so shout out to Alex, because without such a good foil, I don't know if I would have gotten in with New Japan.
I saw him a few times live, and just like you said, the power, it's very, I'm not trying to downplay it. He's a very powerful guy, but it seems like he's got superpower when you watch him in that ring. He does things that I would think maybe a guy his size couldn't be able to do. And like I saw him deadlift somebody straight into a suplex and it blew my mind. It was pretty insane.
Sure. Yeah.
So the door opens for New Japan Strong. You guys were doing those TV tapings out there in your familiar stomping grounds of the Ocean View Pavilion. How is it? How did it feel going back into that building after, you know, you had already left the United Wrestling Network before you started with New Japan Strong. How was it being back in that building? Did it have any good memories, or was it just another day at the office?
Oh, I mean, of course I had good memories. I have a ton of good memories with the homies at that location. I mean, I still every once in a while like to go out to the beach across the street over there. Because I don't know, Port Hueneme is beautiful, and it's like more chill than like going to Santa Monica or Venice or whatever. But it was a little bit weird just because of the timing that it happened and like the COVID setup and all this, like, you know, like there's literally no fans, you know. So it was strange, but yeah, no, like I have tons of good memories from that building, and it was cool to be back there. And yeah, no, like early New Japan Strong, I'm glad we don't have to go back and not have fans. I'm glad we don't have to deal with that ever again. But there was something special about that time, and we had some really good cards and, you know, a really dedicated crew. And it was a really cool time, despite all the kind of, you know, I guess, strangeness of the situation, so to say.
I was lucky enough when New Japan started running the arenas again, you guys came out to my neck of the woods out in the Inland Empire, out in Riverside at the Municipal Auditorium. And that was a pretty dope show against, you know, having seen Team Filthy live, seeing you guys there in person live, seeing the mix of talent. You know, a lot of people were under the impression that New Japan Strong would only be like the American wrestlers, but there was a lot of talent direct from Japan on those cards that still appear on those cards that are going to be on those cards this Saturday too at the Ontario Toyota Arena that you're going to be making your debut there too, right?
I wrestled there actually for Ring of Honor last November in Jarrell versus Workhorseman, Iron Demons, and the Infantry.
I look like a dumbass. Okay, but still,
no, you're fine. You're
pretty
fine.
Cool. Pretty cool returning to such a big venue. I mean, I know, like, look, there's not a whole lot that tops being at the, you know, the G1, the Tag Team Climax. In wrestling in Japan, but I mean, it's gonna be kind of cool to be in these bigger venues. I know you've done some of the bigger venues with AEW and some of those shows too, but it's kind of cool to be like again in SoCal, a place where a lot of your growth and development happened, to be in these kind of larger venues. It's, you know, it's interesting because as somebody who as active as you are, and I have a whole bunch of questions to ask about some of the shows that are coming up, but you wrestle from everywhere, from these larger arenas to much smaller venues and everywhere in between. How is the dichotomy of going from that large audience to a smaller audience, and does it impact the way that you work?
I mean, it certainly is interesting and different when you go from, you know, an arena and you have, I don't know, 5 or 10,000 people in there, and then you're working in front of 250 or something on some random indie. It is different, but like, I've had times where I've been in a big arena and there's just like, for whatever reason, not that much energy. And I've had times where I've literally had times where I've been in front of 40 people and they are rocking and rolling all night, and the energy is electric. You have a great night at merch and everyone's coming up. Like, it just because of the size doesn't necessarily always determine how the feel is going to be for a show, but it certainly does help. It certainly does help when you have 10,000 people and they're losing their minds. It certainly does help, but I don't know. Sometimes it's nice to have that kind of smaller, intimate feel. And I don't know. I just love wrestling and performing. And if a crowd is there and they're hot and they're rocking with you from beginning to end, you know, overall, yeah, obviously it's nice to work in the bigger arenas, but that's because there's more people there, which means you're probably getting a bigger payday and whatnot. But I love wrestling. So as long as it's a good crowd and an active crowd, I'm with it, man.
So let's look a little bit more with New Japan, because obviously that's kind of been your bread and butter for the last couple of years. You had mentioned that the door had opened up when you were working with you said it was with Josh Barnett and Alex Coughlin doing the blood sport that opened up the door. Rocky Romero was able to give you that opportunity to come in. But what about how you ended up in Team Filthy? How did that come into play? Cause that was such a dominant storyline for New Japan Strong in the first couple of seasons. And the team dynamic was so perfect. I mean, you guys really gelled well together. Tell me about how that came into fruition.
You know, I think that was just kind of, Filthy Tom was in the back watching me and Jarrell versus Kratos in Limelight. And I think he just, for whatever reason, saw something in us and thought we were kind of Team Filthy material. And, you know, I obviously have my issues with Filthy Tom these days, but I definitely back then, I think he would kind of hit the nail on the head, because no disrespect to any of the other members of Team Filthy. And if you have the time and people really want to, if you look at the Team Filthy Wikipedia page, there's probably like 100 different members that have been in and out of the group at one point or another. Even I think there's one guy that's been in it twice and all this other like random stuff where you're like, this guy was in it for like 3 days and then got kicked out or whatever. But I will say, like, and I say this not to demean anyone else on the team, but to kind of, I guess, pat ourselves on the back. But I do really think with all the work that was put in for Team Filthy, when you think of Team Filthy, you think of Tom Lawlor, Jarrell Nelson, and Royce Isaacs. That was the core faction of, like I said, there's like probably 100 members. This has been around for years. It's been in multiple big promotions, like, you know, MLW. I think it kind of started there. It's been all over the indies. But when you think of Team Filthy, you think of us three. And I think that's a testament to how well we worked together, some of the stuff that we did, some of the, you know, big six-man bookings that we had together. And, you know, while things look a little bit sour now, looking back at it because of how things are with Tom right now, I do take a lot of pride in that. And that does, I don't know, it makes me happy. You know what I mean? Like, it's kind of cool that that's Team Filthy when people think of Team Filthy in their minds.
Well, I mean, it was that group that really carried the initial New Japan Strong like TV series. You know, that rivalry, you know, Tom Lawlor was doing everything he could to hold on to the title. You guys had his back, and the group was obviously growing. What's kind of funny to me is Kratos, who was a member for a short time, also ended up becoming an NWA World Tag Team Champion. So whenever I saw you guys together, I'm like, well, there you go. We got the NWA World Tag Team Champions right there.
Yeah. I mean, Kratos, I think he's just like, I don't think he was ever like kicked out of Team Filthy. It's just, I think he has so many obligations with the NWA, and there's been so many dates that have lined up that he's just been doing his thing over there. I don't even really know what the status of Team Filthy as a whole is. I know obviously Jarrell and I, it's, you know, we're out, but I haven't seen any Team Filthy activity. I don't know if it's just, like, I'll put it this way. The fact that I don't even know if Team Filthy exists anymore because Jarrell and I left, that tells you how big of a part of Team Filthy we were. That tells you how galvanized we were with Team Filthy.
And I have some more questions about that, but I do want to get to the chat real quick. Matthew Underwood says he's missed most of the chat, but man, the NWA misses you. Also, that FTR versus the Wrecking... Let me try that again. Anyways, you guys as a tag team versus FTR was a fire match. Sorry, my whole monitor went out for a second. I thought
you're good.
That down.
You're good. And there was like way too many like FTR, WCWC. Like, yeah, like, yeah, no, I get it. It was, hey, yeah, man, I appreciate the kind words. And I really enjoyed that match other than getting punched in the face a lot. But I would love to run it back. Like, I would like a long form. Like, I think there's a lot of matches that, you know, it's like, I get it was Dark Elevation, or I think it was Dark Elevation, maybe it was either Dark or Dark Elevation. And so they're all kind of quicker paced matches. But I think Jarrell and I have quite a bit more seasoning now, and I would love to run it back with FTR, because, you know, that's one of the top tag teams of all time. And I think we have a style that meshes really well together. And I think with that more experience and more seasoning, I think we could, you know, give them a much higher level of competition. You know, now we'd be, rather than trying to survive, we'd be, you know, trying to win. And so I would love to run that back with them.
You know, you've had a lot of good matches. I mean, there's a lot of good tag teams out there, but some of the definitive matches that stick on my mind were your tag teams matches against the, like, Midnight Heat for the Defy Tag Team Championships. Who are some of your favorite opponents as tag teams, either in the indies or in New Japan Strong?
I mean, I think immediately the first team that comes to mind is Motor City Machine Guns.
Oh, yeah.
Another one of the best tag teams of all time. I think they're just phenomenal. And I guess to give a shout out to some younger boys that are lighting it up, I've really enjoyed our matches with the Suavecitos, who are an up and coming team here on the West Coast. They've done a lot of really good stuff, and we've worked with them since they really first started teaming to now. And I think they improve every time, and they sure are annoying and sure are nice to punch in the face, but I have to I have to recognize their talent. I do think they're a really good, really good team. We just wrestled recently Culture Inc. I think they're also another good up and coming team in the mix. But yeah, I think Motor City is like, to me, that's like our, that's to me what we like want to get to that level one day when we're looking back on our careers, because they are absolute legends and they're still producing at such a high level. It's very, very impressive. And two of the best wrestlers and two of the best wrestling minds in the business in Saban and Shelley.
I think that's a high praise from Caesar right there. I've heard a lot of similar comments about you where people say that your mind for the business is very elevated. So I think that's a very high praise for Shelley and Saban for sure. The other comment in the chat too was from Lamb. He says your match versus Tyler Bateman in the bull rope match is still fire.
Hey, I appreciate that, my man. Me and Bateman beat the crap out of each other at Championship Wrestling from Hollywood. And we still do from time to time. We just wrestled at the end of last year for Epic Pro. And I threw him around on the outside, all this crap. He was beating the crap out of me. No, it was, I always love, some violence with Bateman, and, it's cool. Cause Hollywood, we hated each other. I was doing all kinds of dastardly deeds, and we had this bull rope match. Both of us are bleeding like stuck pigs. And, I don't know. Sometime after that, we kind of developed the respect. I think it's one of those things where you beat each other's brains in enough, and you get dumb enough that you're like, I actually like you now. And so that's one of my good friends. We talk damn near every day. But you know, as long as I'm taking breath and as long as I'm lacing up the boots, if Bateman wants to fight, you know, I'm always down for. I wouldn't even call it a friendly encounter, because when the bell rings, we beat the crap out of each other. It hurts. Both of us are hurting. But no, I appreciate him. And I think he's Bateman is like one of the most underrated talents on the indies right now. Cause it's like all steak, no sizzle. He just beats you down. He dissects you. And I think he's extremely, extremely talented. I think he's got a unique look. He's got a unique moveset. Like Bateman is the man.
You know, one of the things that, I'm trying to like elevate and talk about you, but since we brought up Bateman, man, one of the things that I love about watching Bateman wrestle is when it doesn't seem like there's a wasted motion. And even when he's, he delivers that punch and then he's selling like the hurt hand, it's like, damn, dude, that's great. I love that. It's the little things I feel like that will make a match even better. And he finds a way to do that. And it's for me, I think that's awesome.
He has all of that stuff. Like, to me, what I think of, in Training Day, when Denzel Washington, when Alonzo pulls out the shotgun and he goes, I'm surgical with this. Like, to me, that's Bateman. Is he's surgical.
That's perfect. That's a perfect way to put it. When you were on the live stream, the podcast last time, we talked about your visits to Japan, and you had mentioned that you were, even as a young man, you were fascinated by Japanese culture. You enjoyed the cuisine. You enjoyed being in that environment. And when you had those extended stays in the spring of 2016 and 2017 and the summer of 2017 with DDT, that it almost felt like a second home for you. You had opportunity to go to Japan representing New Japan this time, representing Team Filthy. And I know there's still some bad blood there, but like you did get an opportunity to be part of the G1 Climax teaming with Tom Lawler. And I'm curious, like, how that experience was versus your first couple of trips to Japan, because obviously you're with New Japan, which is a much larger company. You're wrestling in larger venues. You were on the road with them, I believe, a little bit more than you were on each trip with the DDT. Can you tell us a little bit about that experience?
Yeah. So, I guess it was a little bit different in that, like, with DDT, I would stay for usually, like, a couple months. And we did travel around quite a bit. Like, I saw most of Japan, but it wasn't as hectic as, like, the G1 schedule. It's, like, travel day, wrestle, wrestle, travel day, wrestle. Like, it's much more versus with DDT, you know, they do run quite often. And, like, they would have 3 or 4 matches a week, but maybe you're on 2 of them. And then the rest of the days you're going to training or something like that. And then maybe you have a day off here to explore and whatnot. The tours with New Japan are usually a lot more bang, 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 business, business, business. And you do get like a day here and there to like, oh, cool, let's go explore this castle. Let's go see this or whatever. So it's not like it's all business, but it definitely was a more hectic schedule, especially the G1 is, you know, it was a little under 6 weeks. It was about 6 weeks. And there's a lot of wrestling going on, a lot of matches. And there's some days where you're just like, all right, this is a day off, but I'm just chilling. I'm recovering. Like, I'll walk around the town and explore that. But, you know, I've loved every – I've been to Japan 5 times now, 3 times for DDT, 2 times for New Japan. And I cherish each time. Like, I could absolutely see myself living there one day. Like, I wouldn't mind that at all. I love the lifestyle over there. I love the pace of everything over there. I love the people. And, I love how they do wrestling. I love how the fans treat wrestling over there. That G1 tour was really, really special, though. Especially just because it is the G1, and it's, like, legendary. You know, it's it is the tournament in wrestling.
And you when you're there, I mean, you're wrestling against some familiar faces. I mean, you're in the ring with like Bad Dude Tito, who sure. You know, you guys crossed paths multiple times in Championship Wrestling from Hollywood. How was it? You know, again, I think that was Tito's first trip to Japan. How was it? You know, being the two gaijins, you know, guys who are working in SoCal now in Japan, in New Japan even.
I mean, it was really cool. I think there was something cool about that, us being over there at the same time together. We wrestled like 5 or 6 times. We were, me, Tom, him, and Jonah were just like married that whole trip. So couldn't be too friendly or pleasant, but you know, we definitely we shared a few beers and a few meals. And I mean, he's someone, I think it's self-evident if you look back at any of our encounters or our blood sport match or whatever, like I have the utmost respect for his abilities. I'm really glad that over these last couple of years now, he's gotten, I feel like his just due, like he's gotten a little bit of those flowers. And I think he deserves so much more. I still think he's another guy that could go even further and even higher, but now, you know, he's getting stuff. He's still doing stuff with New Japan, but he's also getting some stuff with MLW. I think he just got announced for, I think him and Che are doing a CMLL tag tournament. Yeah. So it's like, hey, one for the home team, one for the good guys. I love to see that. And, you know, till next time, Tito will lose some more brain cells together, my man.
Well, let me put him over real quick by also putting you over, because I know that you've been at it for a while. Lucha Libre Laughs in Colorado has been calling it the celebration of your 10-year anniversary. But, you know, in such a short amount of time, you became a pretty big deal in the sport of professional wrestling. And I kind of liken it to, like, you're putting in the hard work and no one sees it. So when you become an overnight sensation, it's like, well, it didn't happen overnight, but it kind of feels that way just because a lot of the opportunities start coming to you, like AEW, of course, New Japan Strong, and of course, having these opportunities at the G1 and all that. And the same thing with Tito. It's like, I've known of Tito for probably close to 20 years now. And, maybe not 20, maybe like 16 or 15, something like that. Anyways,
a lot.
For a long time. And I see that guy who transformed his body. He transformed his wrestling. He went from, he was always an athletic guy, but like he's a powerhouse now. And you see that hard work that he put in. For me, I've been watching it for the last 16 years, but other people are like, oh, who's this guy just showing up? He looks great. And that's, I kind of say the same thing about you, although like you've ever since I've seen you, you've kind of already had that look. You've kind of already had that prowess in the ring. It just seems like it's going up to a next level each time I see you. Where, you know, Tito, I literally watched the evolution of, you know, Tito Escondido to bad dude Tito to, you know, Teets and the Wolf's Daddies. And it's just, it's such a cool thing to see. So I'm excited about more good tag team wrestling anyway, because I feel like that's a very underserved niche in the sport of professional wrestling. There's not enough good tag teams out there. So Che and Tito, you and Jarrell, like, yeah, I want to see more of that, please.
Yeah, I will say, okay, so we are in some senses hurting for more tag teams because not enough places put an emphasis on tag team wrestling. They're not willing to, you know, it's like, oh, well, we could get this name, or, oh, we have to fly in two people for a tag team. And it's like, I get it, but at the same time, tag team wrestling to me is a beautiful art. And I think it's important, and I think it's something that needs more emphasis, because on one hand you go, there's not as many good tag teams around, which is partially true because it's been de-emphasized by, you know, it makes it more hard to coordinate. And if you're like, well, I can either get a booking by myself or I might not get booked as a team. Of course, most people are going to take the singles bookings. However, if you look at a promotion like Deadlock, you see what they're doing. They have a tag team roster that could compete with pretty much any of the TV companies. And it's like, well, they have to spend money. They have to put time and effort into it, but their fans appreciate them for it. And they're doing, I think in July, maybe I shouldn't drop too many things, but they're doing a tag team event. Yeah. Let me get myself unbooked. There's a big tag team celebration event coming up for sure. Like, it's like you have to put in the time and the effort, and fans will respond to it. There's absolutely a market for tag team wrestling. Just I think a lot of promoters just see, oh, there's two flights, and oh, like I'm gonna have, oh, like my main storyline is with the heavyweight guy and this, that, whatever. Do stories with tag teams. It pays off. People care about that. People appreciate that. People love tag team wrestling.
It's wild to me because we've had over the few years, we've had a lot of different hosts and people on our podcasts, our live streams. And anytime it's a fan, we start talking about wrestling. Everyone says, I love tag team wrestling. There's just not enough good tag team wrestling, you know, shows anymore. And, you know, and that's even like when you were in the NWA, like, you know, they put you and Tom together, which was a makeshift tag team, and it worked, right? I enjoyed it. And I know a lot of other people enjoyed it as well. But there was a very limited amount of tag teams that they put you in the ring with. I mean, like,
they were
struggling to find, you know, decent tag teams in the division, and something they still have a problem with, even though they've, you know, the NWA has put a more concerted effort to have tag teams. They're doing a Crockett Cup, a tournament of tag team wrestling. And I can maybe name five tag teams in the NWA right now. And it's like, there's a whole bunch more out there. And it's a shame that, those opportunities aren't opening up for guys like you. You know, not that you need that NWA booking, but, you know, it'd be cool for NWA fans. Like, hey, you know, even in the chat, Matthew Underwood says West Coast Wrecking Crew for the Crockett Cup. And, you know, and, you know, also, like, for me, I'd love to see the Wolf Daddies there. I'd love to see TMDK there, you know, but a lot of great tag teams that just aren't available, I guess, for the NWA, as it were. But
I mean, I'll put it this way. It would the problem is it would probably take a lot of effort on their part, and it may not be a thing that's like beneficial. Like, so let's say the West Coast Wrecking Crew enters the Crockett Cup and wins the Crockett Cup. That's great for us.
Right.
Where does that leave the NWA? That leaves the NWA then having to either continue to use us, and it costs money. And if we have a New Japan booking, then, oh, wow, now you can't use the team that just won the cup or whatever. So I do get it to a degree, but I do think if you put in a little bit of effort and legwork and, okay, who are the best tag teams? Who's a non-negotiable? And how can we make sure that we at least get some juice on our side out of it, as well as obviously the fans are going to love. Like, I mean, you've seen it from your chat. I still get tweets to this day, you know, couple times a week usually about, hey, we need to see WCWC in the NWA. Hey, we want to see him in the Crockett Cup, whatever. Like, it's not an uncommon thing. So I do think the fans would appreciate it. It would take effort on the NWA side, and they would have to probably in some way insulate themselves in terms of making sure, hey, we need to get you for a couple more dates or this, that, whatever. I guess something like that. But I think it is worth, to me, it would pay off immensely for them to do, I guess, a little bit of research of who's good unsigned teams and make it a point to get them for a couple dates, not just the Crockett Cup. But it can be done. Like, it's humanly possible. But, you know, you would have to put in some work for that.
Yeah, I mean, booking 101, you got to plant the seeds. You got to tell the story, right? Like, people, I would hate for them to just bring you in just to have you come in to do the tournament and then not do anything with you afterwards. And that's true, sure, of any tag team. Like, you know, people are – it's in Dallas this year, the Crockett Cup. People are hoping that the Von Erich brothers are going to be there. And it's like, okay, cool, but, like, what's the plan afterwards? Just a few years ago, the Briscoes ended up winning the Crockett Cup, which was great. They're one of the best tag team wrestlers of all time. You know, rest in peace, Jay. But they were a great tag team, and I felt like it did elevate the cup. And they did have them around for a few shows after that, but then, like, they were gone. And the juice, the rub they got from winning the Crockett Cup was great, but it wasn't really reciprocated. Because now that they're gone, you know, that the tag team champions lost the Crockett Cup, then they were still around, and then all the other teams were still vying for the tag titles. But, you know, the Crockett Cup champions were now, you know, elsewhere. So to your point, that does make a lot of sense. And it would be, I think, for any wrestling promotion, I think, you know, starting that story, telling those stories to build the audience. I mean, having great wrestling is, you know, essential, but if you have a good story that goes with that great wrestling, it really gets a lot more entertaining for the fans.
Yeah.
So you have a lot of shows that are coming up, and I think that's great first and foremost, because, you know, you got to get booked, but I was pleasantly surprised to see everywhere that you're popping off on. Now, for those people who don't know, I mean, in your SoCal days, when you were out here more regularly, you were competing for the Crash as well as Championship Wrestling from Hollywood and all that stuff. Most recently, you were in Japan just a year ago or 2 years ago. And then, you know, you were just in Canada just a couple months ago. You are everywhere, man. You're like a globetrotter. And I think that's pretty cool. But, like, I've seen some of the opponents that you're going to be facing coming up very soon. And I think you have your hands full of some of these matches. Of course, this weekend, you and Jarrell will be taking on Tom Lawler and Fred Rosser. Those guys used to be enemies. Now they're teaming up against you. And it's basically, you know, I know there's some bad blood there between you and Tom, but let's talk about this matchup for you, because obviously Fred Rosser is a established veteran, a former WWE guy, and he holds gold in Japan. In fact, I think he's the one that beat Tom Lawler for that title. Now they're tag teaming and they're facing you guys. First of all, how is it now stepping into the ring with Lawler after all that's happened between you guys, and knowing that, you know, Fred Rosser's always kind of been that target for you guys back in the day? How is it now seeing him team with Lawler?
It's really weird that he, for whatever reason, it's like we spent 3 years. We cut this guy's hair twice. We teamed up and beat the crap out. Like, I mean, I don't know even how many times I've been putting boots to Fred Rosser with Tom. You know, like for Tom, because he asked for our help, or because we were supporting him, because we were his boys or whatever. Like, it's really weird. I don't know if your fans will, like, catch the reference if they're, like, in tune with what's going on with hip hop right now, but it would be like if all of a sudden Kendrick and Drake decided, hey, let's be a tag team, let's make a dual album. It's like, no, what are you guys doing? And it would be, you know, it's like why am I supposed to you know, respect this? How is this cool? It's not. And especially once he kind of, we kind of tried to draw this line in the sand, and Tom was like, well, no, I'm teaming with Fred. It's like, well, how do you choose him over us? How do you do that? And furthermore, I don't know if you watched the last New Japan show, the Windy City Riot too.
Yeah.
We had the match won. He's known Jarrell and I wanted to win those titles. That was what we have wanted for the past 3 years, what we've been working for. And Tom cost us the match. Tom directly, not like, oh, he was in the match and so we had less of a chance of, like, we had the tag titles won. And he chose, not only is he going to team with Fred, but he said, screw the Wrecking Crew, you know, all about his glory. To then not even, they didn't even win the match. So I hope he's happy.
Sorry.
I hope he likes his new haircut. You know, if you follow the rest of the indies, I gave him a pile driver on a chair at Relentless. So he's, his head's getting all kind of knots for me.
So I don't know that I have these in order. So I'm going to throw them up here just to talk about them because unfortunately I wasn't smart enough to put dates on here. But I do know that our friends over at Epic Pro Wrestling, you're going to be there on June. I believe it's June 2nd. Jamie yep. Ivian's Ante Up 2. Ray Orris is going to be in the house. I was told that was your hand-picked opponent, that's the guy that you wanted to face. And this show, I mean, look, I love Andy. He's been my buddy for a long time, and this show looks pretty phenomenal. Of course, with Jamie Ivan in it, it's even a little bit spicier than most Epic Pro Wrestling events. But what is it like working for Epic Pro? What's it like, you know, in this environment? And what are your thoughts on Ray Orris?
I think Ray is one of the absolute, to me, like maybe five or ten best luchadors in the world. And I think he was really popping off for a minute, and then like for some reason he just randomly is now underrated again. I'm like, why is he not all over every, like, why isn't he on TV right now? Who is messing up there? Yeah. Their mess up, not his. You know what I mean? Because he's one of the coolest, most humble guys that you'll meet backstage, and I have the utmost respect for his abilities. So I'm very excited. I've never wrestled him before, but that was a guy that immediately came to mind, and I love what a different kind of style clash it is between me and him.
Whenever I see the luchador versus a more technical style of wrestling, it always reminds me, of course, of the classics between Dean Malenko and either Eddie Guerrero or Rey Mysterio. Both of those matches, those series of matches, if you ever go back and watch them, are just like chef's kiss. To me, it's like the epitome of what pro wrestling should look like, the blend of styles, the different maneuvers that you'll see. And Ray Orris is very competitive. I get to watch him. I go down to TJ all the time now. I used to be like hallowed grounds. I was so like, well, I don't know if I want to go down to Mexico to watch wrestling, but holy shit, that auditorium in Tijuana is amazing. And seeing Ray Orris there and how the fans react to them there. I hope the fans in SoCal reciprocate that love for him because he's such a great talent. I have high hopes for this match, and that's on a very stacked card, that Ante Up too. I think that's going to be a very a good night for wrestling. If you can't watch it live, of course, it's also going to be available on Triller with the Triller subscription. So I definitely am telling everyone out there that if you're not going to be in LA to see it at the Don Quixote, then get your ass on Triller and watch it, because it's, you know, I've only been to one live Epic Pro show. You weren't even on the card, believe it or not, but it was a good time, and I really like the way that they blend different styles of wrestling. And like I said, this card looks so stacked. Richard Holiday and Shane Haste, I think, is gonna blow people away. I think you and Ray Orris is gonna be pretty phenomenal. There's just a lot of good wrestling on that card, and I'm glad that you'll be on that one.
Absolutely agreed. Also, I'm just warning you, my headphones are about to die, so I might have to go old school and just shout at my phone for the last few minutes of this.
Yeah, that won't be a problem. We'll try to wrap it up sooner than later. Of course, you mentioned Alex Shelley earlier. You'll be facing him Saturday, May 25th in your old stomping grounds. I guess that's home for you, right? The Lucha Libre Live?
Yeah. Lucha Libre and Laughs is like kind of where I started at, because I literally went to one of their shows 10 years ago and was in the crowd, saw it, asked the promoter, hey, where do I start training, and started training the next week. So like Triple L, like integral to the story of Royce Isaacs, and Royce Isaacs is integral to the story of Triple L, because that was at their first anniversary. So they're 11 years old. I'm 10 years into the business, and we're doing it, a celebration together. And I mean, you heard my respect that I have for Alex Shelley at the earlier on, but yeah, I mean, he is him, you know, when it comes to wrestling. So I've wrestled him in tags and a six man as well, but I'm very, very excited to wrestle him one-on-one, which I've never done before. So it should be special.
I was in Colorado, I think it was the week before the February LLL event. I was like, oh man, if I was just 1 week later, I'd have been there. Those shows look a lot, look like a lot of fun. I know you were one of their big attractions. Heidi Howitzer is also one of their big stars. And they look like epic shows. What's the environment like? Has it changed throughout the years, or has it always been kind of wild and chaotic like it seems?
It's always been a fun show. It's grown a ton. It definitely, like, when I first went there, the level of wrestling was not what it is now.
Sure.
But it was awesome. They had good vibes, and they built up, you know, I think there was probably like 150, 200 people the first time I went there, maybe. And then they've sold out every show for the last like 16 months now or something like that. And it's just electric. Anyone that wants to check it out, their YouTube page, Lucha Libre and Laughs, they just dropped Me versus Jeff Cobb yesterday. That was from their January show.
Yeah.
So that's a good one. They have some really, really cool matches up there, really high quality footage. And like, if you watch those recent matches, it'll be like, wow, like the vibe, the aura, that building is great. Oh, for sure.
The other big match, it's obviously this weekend. Oh, we already talked about that one. Never mind. You have some other matches that are coming up soon, too. Of course, you're heading back to Canada for LPW in Edmonton this time. You'll be taking on Larry Woods. I believe that is the 26th of May. And I'm not super familiar with LPW, but I've heard a lot about it, but I'm again not well versed in it. What do you know about this promotion? Obviously they're putting you in the ring with one of their champions. That must mean that they have a very high level of respect for you, but what is your level of respect for LPW?
Yeah, they reached out to me, I think a few weekends ago, and I've never wrestled in Edmonton before. So I'm very excited to make my LPW debut, and I love the idea of debuting against a champion. I mean, bringing me back. So that's the plan. Leave there with some hardware, leave a little extra room in the gear bag so I can take that championship belt home with me. And I love wrestling in Canada. I've been up there quite a few times to work. I'll actually be there this Friday for NEW as well in Vancouver. So I've spent quite a bit of time up north, and other than it being a little bit chilly, so I have to make sure I remember to bring my beanie and whatnot. I love it up there. The people in Canada have been really good to me, and they got some cool sites and cool cities and stuff like that. So I'm enjoying it.
Is that what you do on your off days? Is just kind of check out the city and kind of explore?
Yeah, sure. Or if I can, or I think I'm getting to Vancouver on Friday, like before 10 or 11 o'clock. So I'll have plenty of time. I think call time's not till like 4 or 5 PM. So I'll, get a bite to eat somewhere, walk around a little bit. Like, really nice. So I'm looking forward to it. I'm excited to see what Edmonton's like for sure too. I've never been there before.
You know, everything north of the United States is new to me. Like I've been to Mexico. I've traveled to China for wrestling. I've been to a lot of different places, but I've never been north of the border. This is a matchup that's exciting to me for a couple of reasons. One, you against Brian Keith at West Coast Pro Wrestling at the Irvine Improv. I think that's going to be a very exciting match. It's kind of like a return for you for the United Wrestling Network in a sense, because I know that you've done a lot of work with West Coast Pro Wrestling, both you and Jarrell, but this will be you back in Irvine, where you've competed in the past for United Wrestling Network. Do you feel like this is a homecoming, or do you feel like this is just another day at the office?
I don't know. I got booked through. There's my, can you still hear me?
Yeah, you're good.
All right, cool. So I haven't talked to anyone from UWN, but like, it's cool to come back. I'm excited for Brian Keith is a phenomenal wrestler. We've locked it up one other time, actually at Lucha Libre and Laughs. It's on YouTube if anyone wants to check that out. But I have the utmost respect for his abilities. I think he's one of the best wrestlers in the world. And I think a lot of people who watch the indies have known that for a bit. But I think that now that he's on AEW, a lot of people are starting to kind of realize that, I think, worldwide. So I love competition. I love high levels of competition. I love wrestling people that are on that level. And I'm excited to wrestle BK for a second time. And yeah, it'll definitely be cool to, you know, come back and do another UWN show.
I mean, look, there's still some of us that remember, right? Like Pepperidge Farms remembers. Yeah. We're going to see you in Irvine, and I think that's going to be pretty cool. And one of the other things that I wanted to say before we wrap the show up is, again, you know, when you talk about what it means to be a pro wrestler, and a pro wrestler who I feel strongly represents Southern California, you know, you kind of put your work in here. You worked all the indies out here when you were still kind of coming up, and you did get some success. You have success with New Japan, and you're working all over the United States. You're going to Japan for them. I think it's really cool that you're still doing some of the indies out here. You're still doing some of the bigger events too, but it's cool to see you return to SoCal in that capacity as, you know, somebody that doesn't necessarily have to take those kind of bookings. I mean, but you said earlier in the show that you love wrestling and you love to work. So I guess that's definitely true by your actions.
Yeah, man. I love wrestling. Wrestling's the only job I've ever enjoyed, I think. And yeah, as long as I can connect with the fans and make some good graps out there and pay some bills with it, I love it. I'm happy for it. And every day that I get to wrestle and not be in an office is a blessed day. The worst day wrestling is better than the best day doing an office job.
That's 100% fair. You can follow Royce Isaacs on twitter.com or I guess it's X now, instagram.com, both at Royce Isaacs, or on Facebook, your Facebook fan page, Royce Isaacs 111. Any particular reason for the 111?
It was some stupid like indie thing back in Colorado where I first started. A bunch of us called ourselves like 111 or something like that. So it's like on my email and on my fan page and all this stuff. But now I'm like, I don't even know why. It is what it is.
That's cool. That's fair. And then also you have a pro wrestling tee store. Again, Royce Isaacs there. Make sure if support the athletes, buy the shirts, buy the merch, and help support them. Because again, you know, if you enjoy watching wrestling, this is how they take care of themselves, you know, the t-shirts, the merchandise, and the live events. Make sure you go out there and support them. Is there anything else that you would like to plug before I let you go for today? Or is there anything that's coming up that I missed?
No, I think you got definitely all the big stuff that I got coming up. And I don't know if anyone wants to check it out. I got a YouTube channel. I want to say it's Royce Isaacs 111 at Gmail or something. I don't know. But if you look up Royce Isaacs versus, a bunch of my stuff will pop up. I'm always trying to get more matches uploaded on there and stuff like that. And yeah, the pro wrestling tees, all that stuff, any support, I appreciate it all. If you come see me live and in person, or watch any of the, you know, New Japan on iPay-per-view this weekend or whatever, or if you just literally listen to 55 minutes of me talking and being dumb, I appreciate you. And Gimlet appreciates you.
Gimlet?
Gimlet, yeah, his name's Gimlet.
That's a great name, Gimlet. I love it. I'll see you Saturday night. I'll be up in the nosebleeds, but I'll wave at you. Just give me that nod that I know you saw me. I appreciate it.
Sounds good, man.
All right, brother. You have a good one, and thanks so much for being a part of it. Have a good night.
I appreciate you, man. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. That was Royce Isaacs, everybody. Great dude. Love having him on. It's been a while. He came on right before the pandemic. We talked some wrestling then, and yeah, man, good dude, and happy to see his success. I'll be watching him this Saturday night in Ontario, and I'm hoping for him to give an ass whooping to Tom Lawler and Fred Rosser. That's going to do it, guys. I hope you enjoyed this special edition of the Alliance Blog Podcast. We'll see you tomorrow night with the Alliance guys. And until next time, you know what I always say, we'll see you at the matches.
Thanks for joining the stream. This has been a presentation of alliance-wrestling.com. We genuinely appreciate your support. Would you consider subscribing so you'll never miss a future episode? I'd also like to remind you, we do a live stream every Tuesday at 5 p.m. for NWA Power. You can find us on social media at the Alliance Blog. And until next time, we are the Alliance.